Going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Take a roll call.
Here.
Mr. Redmond?
Here.
Mr. O'Neill is absent. Mr. Francie?
Here.
Ms. Kane is absent. Mayor Nolan?
Here.
Meeting statement. As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a special meeting of the Borough of Highlands Mayor and Council, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times. Notice has been posted on public bulletin board.
Okay.
The first item we have on the agenda is the hearing on the revoking of the mercantile license for RA Multimedia doing business as Captain's Cove Marina.
Folks, because of possible litigation or pending litigation, we're going to turn it over to our attorney right now for a set the parameters of the meeting. Please, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Salvatore Alfieri. I'm a partner at the law firm of Cleary, Giacobbe, Alfieri, and Jacobs. Bruce Padula, one of the partners in our firm, is the regular borough attorney. He could not be here tonight. I'm sitting in for him.
He had a death in the family, not to cut in. Go ahead, sir.
The procedure we're going to follow tonight is this is a hearing to consider the revocation of a mercantile license for a local business. The borough will present testimony in support of the potential revocation of that license. The testimony that's presented by the borough officials will be subject to cross-examination by the business owner and or his attorney if they're present. After that is done, the business owner and or his attorney could present evidence and or witnesses to support its position. And after that, the public will be permitted to either comment, provide testimony, or ask questions of any of the witnesses who testify. Each party that testifies will be sworn in. There'll be a record of this proceeding so that if it's reviewed by a higher authority in the future, everything will be available for that authority to review it, and I believe that summarizes the actual procedure we're going to follow. Did we announce that that meeting was advertised under the local public?
We did not, but it was.
Okay, and it was sent to.
It was transmitted to both newspapers, published in one. The other was a weekly. It was not.
Okay, and did we make an effort to serve the property owner?
We did.
And
I did with the police officer.
Okay, and also his attorney was advised of this.
Correct.
Through my office. Okay, the first, we're going to call the business administrator, or manager.
Administrator.
As our first witness, and would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to present to this board will be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And for the record, state your name, address, and the position you hold with the borough.
Timothy Hill, 33 3rd Avenue, Atlantic Islands, New Jersey. I'm the borough administrator.
And Mr. Hill, you're familiar with this matter, I'm assuming that's being presented to the governing body, the mayor and council tonight.
Yes.
Would you present a summary of the facts that have led us up to this evening's proceedings?
Since the damage from Hurricane Irene, the borough has continually worked with Mr. Rosiak in an effort to ensure that the repairs of the Captain's Cove Marina bulkhead could be performed and ultimately that the Washington Avenue Street could be repaired. Throughout the months of December 2011 up to the present of August 2012, the borough continued to offer Mr. Rosiak every opportunity to have repairs made. This included meetings with Mr. Rosiak, his engineers, his attorney on occasions where warranted. Actions and discussion also took place at public portions of council meetings where the marina repairs were discussed, and there's been various correspondence between Mr. Rosiak's attorney and the borough attorney attesting to such. We were always led to believe that the marina repairs would be made so that we could repair the roadway. This has always remained the focus of our efforts, and we believe we've continued those. Agreements for mercantile license approvals, additional access agreements, and other documents were put in place to help move the project along. Escrow, inspection fees, and other things were required. It's my feeling, even when those requirements were put into place, it was always at the last minute that those items came through to the borough. Throughout the entire process, I believe that Mr. Rosiak has been given ample opportunity to comply with any and all provisions that have been put forth for this marina project repair. Additionally, he never stated that he would not do these repairs. I make that very clear for the record. As of Wednesday, August 8th, in my opinion as the borough administrator, there's been no direct efforts to repair the impacted areas of the bulkhead and marina.
Now, a couple items I'd like to have mark into evidence as we proceed. The first is there's a resolution that is identified as R-1290, dated April 18th, 2012, and this resolution authorizes the mayor, the mayor and council authorized to execute an agreement with the clerk and the business owner, and a conditional mercantile license would be issued once the agreement is executed. And then attached to this is a copy of the agreement in question. And we're going to mark this as P1. Is that an accurate depiction of what this document represents?
Yes, sir.
And what was the circumstances surrounding how this document was created and what was negotiated in order to accomplish this?
Due to the issue of the bulkhead and the conditions, there was concern from various residents and I believe probably boat owners as to how the marina would operate if the conditions existed. The Borough Council believed, in order good faith-wise to move forward, we would do a conditional mercantile license, designate the slips that were deemed safe for use, and move forward from there.
And as of April 18th, the actual mercantile license was not issued. It was just an authorization to issue it once the agreement was executed. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I'm going to show you I've marked as P2 into evidence, and that is a resolution along with the agreement again, dated June 6th of 2012. And this agreement that's attached to this resolution was signed by the mayor on June 13th and Fred Rosiak on June 12th, 2012. Is that also an accurate depiction of what occurred at the council meeting on June 6th of 2012?
Yes, it is.
All right, and then since that agreement was executed, the borough, in fact, did issue a mercantile license. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And the agreement that's attached to this exhibit states, paragraph 4, that the agreement shall be void and the license, which is the mercantile license, immediately revoked if the marina fails to obtain funding for repairs and fails to commence repairs to the bulkhead within 45 days after this agreement is executed by all parties. And since the last signature on this agreement is June 13th of 2012, that would be the start date of the 45-day period, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that 45-day period has since expired, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, the mercantile license was issued by the borough. I'm going to show you what I'm marking as P3, and that's a letter from my office to Mr. McKenna that actually encloses the mercantile license. Is that correct? And is that license that's attached to that document the mercantile license that was issued?
Yes, it was issued on June 14, 2012.
And that mercantile license was conditioned upon the facts and conditions that were contained within that separate agreement?
Yes, and on the license, there's restrictions listed as to what boat slips could be used.
Okay. That's all the questions we have of this witness. Is the business owner or his attorney present to ask questions of the administrator?
The business owner is present. My attorney was supposed to be present. And the last conversation with him, I said he was going to, but he also understood the hearing to 8 o'clock as I did. If I didn't run into Dale, frankly, I would have been here at 8 o'clock, but that's beside the point.
Okay. Do you have questions of the administrator?
My last understanding of Mr. Gilbert was the attorney.
Yeah, his death and his family. I'm from the same office. He couldn't be his name.
Because I know that my attorney, Mr. Padula, had agreed that he should be present as well. So.
Who should be present?
My attorney, Mr. McKenna.
If he certainly has the right to be here.
Well, I know he has the right to be, but he's also going to be here. But I'm going to be here.
Okay. Now we'd like the next call, another representative from the borough, and I'm not sure which one. Either of you have visited the site as recently as today. Who's that? You?
We've both been to the site today.
So one of you. With no sense both of you saying the same thing.
Sure. I'll speak there. Okay.
Can I interrupt for just a second? Is it possible I could go call Mr. McKenna and find out what...
Do anything you want. We're going to keep going, but go ahead. I waited 11 months when I went anymore, but you can go home. We're going to keep going.
And just for the record, and we may as well mark this, we have the notice of hearing with the slip from the certified mail that indicates that the public hearing will take place on August 8th, 2012 at 7:30, and obviously the room is pretty full and everyone else knew about it somehow. But per the mayor's instructions, we're going to continue the hearing. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to present to this court will be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
State your name, address, and position with the borough.
Robert Keady, Jr., professional engineer. Business address is 11 Tyndall Road, Middletown, New Jersey, 07748. I'm also the borough engineer.
And Mr. Keady, I'm assuming that you're familiar with this property and this project.
Yes.
And you've been involved in it for how long?
Since we've been talking about this, 11, 12 months.
Okay, and did you visit the site today?
Yes.
And what time?
Approximately 6:40.
This evening?
Yes.
Can you describe for the mayor, council, and the members of the public the current condition and status of improvements?
Sure. The conditions have looked essentially the same as they have for quite some time since we started talking about this. As far as the equipment goes, there is an excavator on site, there is a bobcat on site, a container, there is a machine in the water with a bucket that had some pilings on it, a mark outlet to be performed. That said, it didn't look like any work had commenced yet.
Looked like any work did not commence yet.
It did not look like any work had commenced.
And when you say it hasn't commenced, does that mean that it's essentially in the same condition it was in as of June 13th when this agreement was signed?
Yes, to my knowledge.
And were you familiar with the condition of the site as of June of 2012?
Yes.
As your role as borough engineer, you visited the site regularly?
I visited on occasion throughout the duration of this process.
And so you're familiar with the condition of the site as it evolved from the day of this situation started to that?
Yes.
And can you describe how, has there been any real change in the condition from when the situation first arose to today?
Well, it looks very similar to what it did for the past several months. There are areas of disrepair of the bulkhead. The bulkhead is collapsing into the waterway. Portions of the curbing have been, dislodged and have been freed up. There are areas of the tiebacks for the bulkhead that are in disrepair. There are portions along where the curbing is of the road that have washed out. That's been the situation for a pretty long time.
And are there road improvements that the borough is contemplating that are being held up by the work situation at the site?
Currently, we're in design for road repairs, and certainly they could not be performed until the bulkhead is restored.
Okay, property owner, I know you don't have the benefit of your attorney, but you're...
I don't, but now am I permitted to ask Mr. Hill questions?
Yes, that's what I said before, yes. You could ask either of them.
Didn't make that clear to me. Mr. Hill, may I ask questions next?
Yes.
When I showed up on Friday to formalize that the road closing was in effect and to take place and to pay for the permit, do you remember what your response was?
You applied for a road opening permit. That's what you actually applied for. Yes, it was a
road.
Would close the road predicated upon us being notified that work was to begin.
Do you remember what your response was?
What's your direct? You asked me many questions that day.
Do you remember saying, geez, this is the busiest Friday of the week with the clam hut and it takes 4 days to get a road opening or permit? And Councilman O'Neill stepping in and saying, wait a minute, this is ridiculous, the road's already closed. Do you remember that?
The road was closed, yes.
No. Do you remember that? You remember saying it takes 4 business days?
No, I did not. Never said 4 business days. I conferred with the chief of police with regards to road closure. Well, generally, it's a 48-hour notice.
Thank you. This is indicative of the kind of response of cooperation that you've indicated has been going on for months. But thank you. Mr. Keating.
Yes, sir.
You, where I saw you and Mr. Lubner standing by the bulkhead.
Yes.
You stated that the conditions look similar to what they were before.
Yes.
Right? Did you walk down to the end of Recreation Place, or did you just pretty much stay there?
Today I did not walk down to the end of Recreation Place.
Did you notice the excavations that were done around the dead man that were done last week, or you didn't see that?
I didn't see that.
Nor probably could you from the... Mr. Lubner, you haven't testified yet. Did you notice the structure that was constructed to be able to put the piles? And you mentioned some equipment. You noticed some equipment. Could you tell me again what you noticed in the way of the equipment?
Sure, I'll recite. I saw an excavator, a bobcat, a container, a piece of equipment that's floating with a bucket on it.
Did you notice the structures that were built to be able to line up 4x4 tubing? Is lined up so that they can line up the piles to make things straight. It's right next to the excavator. Did you go into the lot? I should ask you that question.
Go into which lot?
To the arena lot where the excavator was located.
I stood adjacent to that area.
So you didn't actually go on the lot?
I did not walk onto the lot where the excavator was. I was standing in the street.
Okay. So you did not see the structures that were built a week ago that are going to line the piles up to 4x4 tubing, 40 feet long. There's two of them.
I didn't see those.
And if anyone wants to go and see the map, it's there. You made the statement, I believe, work had not commenced. Is that correct? That's what I wrote down.
You said it did not appear that work had commenced.
I'm sorry. It did not appear that work had commenced. And by work had not commenced, did you mean that the bulkhead had not been replaced or work had not commenced?
Well, the bulkhead has not been replaced.
Right. No article. Is that basically what you meant, though, that the bulkhead hadn't been replaced?
I didn't see indication of work to replace the bulkhead. That work to replace the bulkhead had commenced.
You're aware of mustering work, preparation work, getting things lined up, etc. Which you would consider work or you don't consider that work?
I was based on a visual inspection of the site.
Right.
Based on my visual inspection of the site, did not appear that anything work had commenced to replace the work.
Okay. Would you consider the preparatory mustering phase as part of work to do a job?
What do you mean by preparatory mustering phase?
Getting equipment on site, building structures that will be used to guide the piles and the poles and the foundation of it. Would you consider that part of the job?
I acknowledge that there is equipment on site.
That wasn't my question, sir. I asked you, would you consider that part of the job is getting stuff together, mustering is normally the term that's used in anything that I've seen, of equipment and other materials?
I would say that there is on a project, there is preparatory work on site.
Yes.
However, I did not visually see some of the items you're referring to.
Okay,
that concludes the direct testimony. Where you can now. Those were questions. Now, if you want to testify and actually place on the record what you consider the status of work and why the governing body and mayor should not revoke your reptile license, you can do that now. I'd ask first that you raise your right hand so we can swear you in. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present to this board will be the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
And please state your name and address for the
Frederick
record.
Frederick Rosiak. I'm Marine Place. I'm the owner of Captain's Cove Marine.
Okay, you can tell, you're under oath, you can tell this board anything you want about the current condition of construction and anything else you need to present to them that you think is relevant to this issue.
Mayor Nolan, you mentioned that this has been 11 months and you're not going to let this go another month.
You're just so you know, you're testifying, you're not questioning. You're testifying to say whatever you want.
Right. I wanted to make that statement.
Sure.
Is that all right?
Again, you can say anything you want, but I'm not responding.
Oh, I don't want you.
It's not a Q&A.
I don't want you, but is it okay for me to say that?
You can say anything you want within reason.
Thanks.
Yes, go ahead.
Within reason. The agreement that was finally signed was signed the 13th or 14th of June. As I between then and ongoing now, I've had a series of personal problems that don't affect you, and nor should they concern you, except they really kind of take a lot of time away. I called the contractors that had given us prices on the 15th of June and 16th of June, and both of them laughed at me at the thought of getting in before the summer was over. That's the busiest time of the year, as you might imagine. That's when we made the decision we were going to do the work ourselves. Mr. Francie had actually said, because one of my partners has done work for Mr. Francie, including boat lifts and things of that sort, and docks, why don't we do it ourselves? So we began to make plans to do that. That excavator, which is a 60,000-pound excavator, getting a lease on that for the period of time we're going to be working did not happen one day. Getting the materials all lined up, getting the material lined up to do things didn't happen one day. Finding someone who will accept creosote material as well as plastic and other things didn't happen one day. All of that is part of this project. Sticking the first pile in isn't when the job starts. Now we're ready, just about ready to do that, but it's taken longer than we thought. I'm not sure how productive threatening to withhold the licenses or any of that kind of stuff to getting this work done. Most of the 11 months that Mayor Nolan referred to were everyone pointing in other directions as to who's going to help and who's going to pay for it. And it all came down to me paying for it, not you guys. Now, Mr. O'Neill was appointed at the council meeting to be my coordinator. I've made several attempts to try and talk to him. I've attempted through Carolyn Cummins to have him contact me. He has not responded. I would have given him a status of what was going on. But Mayor Nolan, you were the one who approved him to be the coordinator. We are ready to go. It's not going to do any good to continue to have hearings and drag things out. Who's laughing in the back?
Please direct your comments to the first public. Members of the public, please don't make comments or noises during the testimony. And, sir, you please direct your comments to the mayor and council.
It's very disturbing. I understand. I keep saying that.
I understand.
Okay. I guess my understanding of our agreement is that work will commence. Or could you read it back to me, sir?
That's what it said.
Work will commence. Work has commenced. Maybe not as much work as people would like to see, but it doesn't happen overnight. Work has commenced. According to our agreement, I believe I fulfill that.
Just one question. The preparatory work that you discussed, such as obtaining estimates, getting equipment, etc., is there a reason why you didn't do any of that work before you signed the agreement?
Absolutely. We've been all over the lot in terms of what agreement was going to be there.
For the record, Mayor McKenna's here, Mr. Roziak's attorney.
Hi, Mr. McKenna.
Mr. McKenna, how are you, sir?
Very good, thank you.
I think there might have been some confusion on the start time.
But you can go back and.
Okay, I was advised 8, so.
It's okay.
The notice said 7:30.
I'm sorry. I got something.
And just to bring you up to speed, the borough administrator and engineer have testified and presented the current status of construction and the history surrounding the agreement, and your client has testified as to his position as to the current status of the repairs, I should say, not construction. I don't know if you finished or not yet. And then we were going to open it up to the public for comments, questions.
Okay. Just to be clear, so Mr. McKenna isn't at a disadvantage. You read that the agreement said within 45 days work will commence. Mr. Petey did admit that he showed up at the work site today, didn't go all the way down to see where we had redug some dead men out of the way last week, or that the excavator and the guide poles and the other stuff had all been placed on the lot, creosote container placed on the street, and all of that logistics. And I believe Mr. Keady admitted that mustering is in fact part of a job. And that's where you can understand.
And forgive me, because again, in my confusion, I apologize. But
and just because it's being taped, please state your name.
Yes, Edwin McKenna, McKenna DuPont Higgins and Stone, on behalf of Mr. Rozier and Captain's Cove. I have spoken to Mr. Padula several times concerning personal circumstances involving Mr. Rozier, and to keep him apprised of what was going on. So I just want to make that clear for the record, that there was no lack of communication on our part. And frankly, Mr. Padula was very good also at reaching out to us. So I just want to make it clear that there was contact between us. And in fact, at our most recent telephone conversation, Bruce then sent me an email saying, I haven't heard anything from you. I communicated with him both orally and by correspondence subsequent to that. But we have been, I would say we had at least 3-4 conversations last week alone. And I had indicated to him that certainly, although we had legal arguments to make that there was other work that had commenced, I advised him also, this is really important to know, that there was a major piece of equipment. I don't know if you covered that. Did you, Mr. Rozier?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I did cover, Mr. McCown, that Mr. Nolan had appointed Councilman O'Neill as the coordinator for this project, and that I had reached out to him numerous times, and he had only been able to actually get with him once after the meeting. And he's not here tonight to be able to, whatever. But there's been attempts, certainly, at communication to the council as well, indirectly. And I think even Ms. Cummins would admit that I called her and said, I know you can get through to Ricky, and could you?
Well, I want to clarify the point that I did speak to Mr. Padula about. There was a major piece of equipment that was necessary for the work to be done on this site. We were advised a piece of equipment would have been delivered about, I'm going to say,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about 15 days ago. We were then advised that a piston had blown on the piece of equipment and that it was going to be delivered late. I did communicate that to Mr. Padula also to let him know that that was a major problem for us and that it was beyond our control. It wasn't a piece of equipment that we owned. It was a piece of equipment that we were renting. And we were advised by the rental company that the piece of equipment had blown a piston specifically, and that they would advise us when the piece of equipment, would be delivered.
He did forward that to all of us.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that everybody knew about that.
That was like about 10 days ago, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. So, frankly, from the borough standpoint, I would applaud you because you've been on top of it. But I want you to know that every time Mr. Padula has called me, I have responded. I did communicate with Mr. Rozier under what were very difficult circumstances for him personally, and he always returned my communication to him as soon as he could. And then I, in turn, advised Mr. Padula of the circumstances at that point. I even went to the site tonight before I got here, and that's part of it. I was actually going to come early.
We had agreed to meet at the site, but unfortunately, I found out about the meeting at 7:30.
It's okay, but I did go over the site tonight and actually met a couple of residents who ends up I knew, and they indicated, you know, we're glad to see the work slightly going on here, you know, that type of thing. And in fact, one of them said, what are you doing? If you're in the wrong town, you should be in that kind of thing. So, I'm very happy. I just want to make it clear for the record that we have done everything we could as far as keeping the lines of communication open, number one. Number two, there was a delay beyond our control as far as obtaining the equipment necessary to go forward. Number three, I represented to Mr. Padula that work would be commenced no later than
last point. The attorney, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Sal Alfieri.
Mr. Alfieri had asked me why I didn't make arrangements to get claims and prices and contracts before the signing of the contract. Maybe you could explain that these agreements have been very elusive and evasive for a very long time.
Well, no, I don't know if I described it that way exactly, but I think what I would say is that the agreements were tossed back and forth. We had a number of changes between Bruce and I. And Sal, I don't know if you were in on all that, but I would tell you that Bruce prepared an agreement, I revised it, then he would change it, and we went back and forth a number of times to try to make sure that the agreement met with everybody's needs, meaning making sure that the borough was covered from your end, and making sure that I had Mr. Rosiak covered on my end. So it's not as though we were presented with a document, okay, great, sign, we're done. We actually had to negotiate over some of the terms of the agreement, and specifically the easement agreements and things like that, to make sure that the borough had the access that the borough wanted as far as the drainage facility on the site and what was going to be done as far as correcting that facility and making it usable. And then, so we were giving the borough easements, and in turn, the borough was allowing us to access the dead men in the roadway that we had previously accessed before. So we needed some clarification on that. And frankly, I think the engineers were helpful also in clarifying that. So we finally got to the point where the agreements were finalized.
And the reason that issue came up was that a resolution was done in April of 2012. There's an agreement that was signed in mid-June, but it has the date of May 2012 on the introductory paragraph. And your client testified that he began to do the pricing and everything after the agreement was signed, and he determined that the pricing was so high that they would have to do the work themselves. And
no,
work.
I didn't say that.
They weren't available.
They weren't available. I'm sorry. You're right. They weren't available in the summer. So the question was, why didn't
they do it? That agreement was in April. They didn't deliver a mercantile license until June.
Because the agreement had to be signed. But the question was, why didn't you do contact the contractors and at least start the preparatory work in terms of lining up professionals and contractors before
we had done that,
June 13th?
But the date they kept saying, when do you anticipate doing it? And I had to keep moving them back. The first two contractors that I wanted doing this job were in here in November. They would bug me to do it. At some point, they line up their work quite a bit in advance. I'll take the blame. I'll take the hit on this one because I told him, I said, you can't sign a contract until we have everything finalized, because we were going back and forth with the municipality. In fact, we had meetings here at Borough Hall with the engineers and with our engineers. And please remember that the borough asked for very specific representations and indications from our engineers concerning the strength of the bulkhead, the pressure, all those types of things. So we had to go back to our engineers and ask our engineers to provide your engineers with certifications concerning the viability of the new bulkhead that was to be constructed. There was a lot of technical stuff, quite frankly, that we had not anticipated, that we had to go back to Amaki and our engineers and ask them to produce. So we did it, and we eventually got it done, but I'll accept blame for telling Mr. Rosiak, as your attorney, I can't tell you to sign a contract, put a deposit down, to start work on X date. We don't have a signed agreement. And if we don't have a signed agreement, and now you default on that contract, you're going to have a legal problem. And you may well forfeit a substantial amount of money because we haven't finalized our agreement with the municipality.
Maybe we can. Is it fair to say then everything is in working order right now? Machinery?
Yes.
Everything is ready to go.
Yes. And all the agreements have been finalized despite the personal difficulty Mr. Rosiak has had to go through. He has been in constant communication with me. I went to the site tonight to visibly verify that the stuff was there, and it was, and I could see where some work had been done. So I feel very comfortable representing to you that things are finally underway.
If the status didn't change tonight, when would it be done?
You mean if, I'm sorry.
When would the bulkhead be repaired? Like, let's say we went past tonight and nothing changed. In other words, the status of the mercantile and...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
When would the work be completed?
Right, and maybe to focus you further, a timeline as to how the construction's going to progress.
Well, a hard date. I mean, what's your worst-case scenario completion? We know that there's certain things in there that we've talked about during the course of this procedure for the last, you know, however long it's been, with our engineers at some point have to go and wanted to inspect, and, you know, we kind of know that, and that, I think, is laid out over the project by your engineer and ours. What would be the timeline you think would be done?
The two large crews gave us a timeline of 60 days once it started.
But it's already started, like you said, right?
Yes, excuse me. Let me just finish.
Sure.
The two large crews gave us a date of 60 days once they started. So I'm anticipating, given that we are maybe not quite as sophisticated, 90 days. So if everyone is agreeable that we just need to get going, today is the 8th, so September, October, I guess we're talking about the 1st of November, is that correct?
You're saying agreeable to get going. There's nothing stopping you from getting going right now. There's nothing stopping you from going.
Believe it or not, this has been a very disruptive action that you've taken.
Okay.
All the other stuff...
It's been disruptive for 11 months for most of the residents around you, too.
It's been disruptive for my business because you withheld the mercantile license so I couldn't rent and slip.
And that's why we're here, Fred, because... What we're saying now and putting on the record is a version of what went on. That's a reality. Anybody that sits at this table may not tell you to your face, I will. Maybe they won't, but that's a reality.
What's a reality? I'm not sure.
Well, the versions that we're putting out here is a version of how it went on. But anyway, so 90 days we're assuming will be the latest time.
And can you lay out what would happen in the next 30 days? Is there can you give the mayor and council an idea of what's going to happen in the next 30 days?
In the next 30 days, we would pull a first section of the bulkhead. We indicated, see, a lot of this I went through with Mr. O'Neill, so I'm surprised he didn't communicate it with you.
Sorry,
but in any case, we would start by the drain area and pull out approximately 50 feet of the old bulkhead. We have to separate the material, creosote material, from the other material, from the iron. And set up our new piles in front of that, and we would attach our whales, and we would drive the sheep. Then we would tie in the tie rods to the back of the street and proceed to go along.
Okay, is there anything else would you like to present? If not, we're going to open up to the public for comments and questions.
Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to reserve, depending on what the public comments
yes,
are.
Yes, absolutely.
But And again, please forgive me for the mix-up, but I just want to emphasize the fact that that if there's been a delay, it has not been an intentional delay on the part of our client in any way. And the technical aspects of this were much more sophisticated than I had originally anticipated. And that's not putting casting any aspersions on anyone. You guys did your job. Protect the town, and your engineers did your job, and so did I, and so did our engineers, to make sure that our client was protected, so that we both had the easements that were necessary in order to allow the bulkhead to be reconstructed, and to allow your drainage facility to be reconstructed and rehabilitated. And that probably caused us, I would say, a 4 to 6 week delay minimum.
If you want to weigh in after the public portion, no problem.
In fact, I'd like to make one other comment, Mr. Alfieri.
Yes.
I found out from two neighbors who are good neighbors that there's a Mr. John Bentham who has been circulating all kinds of problems. And I'm sure it's a result that I've had to call the police 3 times on him for trespassing with he and his lady friend and his daughter.
That's hearsay.
It's not hearsay. It's police
that's
record.
But is that relevant
to
affect, the...
Yes, the comments that are made by Mr. Bentham's constituents. I think it's very relevant.
Well, the public has the right to say anything they want.
But I'm just advising you there's a conflict of interest.
Mr. Thomas, you want to sign it?
Yes.
No, Mr. Thomas, sign it. Do you want to add something?
Yeah, I do. At this point, you're Councilman Chris Francie. Your 90 days puts the road repair starting...
The winter.
in the winter, which means the road repair won't be done until springtime. It's unconscionable. Now, I don't believe it's going to take, I'm going to say it this way, I doubt it has to take the 90 days if you had to put more resources to it.
Mr. Francie, we will try and get this done as quickly as possible. Mr. Alfieri said what's an outside date to get this done.
I don't think he said, I don't think he said outside.
I thought something like that. I thought he did. In other words, you asked us for a good faith estimate. He said 60 days. And he said worst case scenario. And yes, sure.
So worst case, I'm telling you, is 90 days. Can we finish sooner? We should be able to. Will we try to? We certainly will. Will we muster as much as we can to get this thing done quickly? Absolutely.
Okay. Let's start with the public portion. Jacqueline Garrison?
Oh, I thought we just had a sign in.
No, no, it's if you wanted to say anything. If you don't want to make a statement, that's okay. Say whatever you want. You've got to be sworn in. You got to be sworn in, ma'am. You got to be sworn in.
If you want to say something, yes.
I do.
Okay. Say anything you want, just got
to
be sworn in.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to present is the truth to help you God? And you may want to come up so that the tape picks you up.
If you don't mind.
Thank you. Yes.
Could you come down the aisle a little if you don't mind? I'm sorry.
Just again, for the record, would you state your name and address, please?
Yes, my name is Jacqueline Ann Garrison, and I live at 5 Barbary Avenue, Highlands.
And you're allowed, and this goes for all members of the public, you can ask questions of the persons who have testified, or you could present testimony, either way.
Well, I don't have any faith to ask questions, because it's 11 months later, and things are looking worse. I'm just worried. The water is coming further and further. That girl lives on the corner. I don't know what she's going to do. What happens if we have a storm while this is so-called 90 days? You know we're going to have a storm. We do have a storm. We haven't had one except our name, which wasn't that bad. Do we start all over again? It wasn't that bad. See, I live on a portion of Barbary Avenue that never gets water because we don't have any sewers. Whoever built the sewers, you should sue.
That wasn't the T&M job, right? No.
It was. I'm not going to admit it right now.
But that's what I'm concerned about, and so is everybody else. I mean, no matter we, I come in and ask what's going on. We don't know it's in court. I want to sell my house and get out of here because it was a wonderful town, beautiful. He don't know it. He wasn't here. And now it's becoming a laughing stock.
Just please, let's not have any back and forth. I appreciate what you're saying, and I understand it, but going back and forth is not going to serve any purpose here.
Who wasn't here?
Well, saying he wasn't here. It's kind of irrelevant. If he bought it yesterday or 10 years ago, I mean,
lived in that house.
No, I understand.
30 years ago.
I understand. Thank you, Ms. Garrison. James Garrison? You're good? Pat Philippe? Is it Philip?
Phillips.
Oh, Phillips. I'm sorry.
Pat Phillips.
Yeah, I think she's taking her from there. She's probably
okay. Do you swear the testimony you're about to present this board to be the truth to help you God?
Yes.
Name and address for the record.
Patricia Phillips, 56B Ford Street.
Thank you.
You all know me. I've been here for most of the meetings. This has been going back and forth on both ends. Flippity-floop. He's got the stuff. Let's get it done. I know, Mr. Francie, what you're saying as to if it takes 90 days, then we're in the winter repairing. But you have to allow a few extra days because we all know that there's snafus.
No, what he's saying is the road will not be prepared till next spring, repaired.
Well,
no,
listen,
I'm just making it clear. That's what he's saying.
I know, but what are you going to do? The longer we wait, the longer we split hairs, the worse it's going to be, the more damage is being done. You know it's all being undermined at every time it's high tide.
And again, for the record, there's nothing stopping it right now.
No, I understand that, but if you vote in a negative manner, to stop it, then we're back to square one. What's the point of all that?
Okay.
So let's just, you know, there's guys that work there. They don't make a whole lot of money, but they do something. You know, they own here, they rent here. You know what I mean? They need that marina to work. The clams can't be thrown out of there. You know, I mean, come on.
Understood.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
John Bentham. John, did you want to?
Do you swear that... Why don't you come up, too? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present to this court will be the truth to help you God?
Yes, I do.
Name and address for the record, please.
My name is John Benton. I'm in regards to 39 Washington Avenue, Nylon. Myself and my wife are property owners of the 39 Washington Avenue. My problem is if we get a tide or get a hurricane on Washington Avenue, the way Bulkhead now is, we're going to lose Washington Avenue, plus our sewer system, our water system, and our gas system is right there. As the water is coming in now, underneath the bulkhead or through the hole in the bulkhead, it's moving Washington Avenue back into the water. Now, Mr. Rosiak, which I found out who he was the other day when I was down at the bulkhead, I was checking out, I was down Friday, I happened to go to Long Branch, and I had a funeral to attend. I went over to Washington Avenue, saw my son, and I was standing on the raised portion of the bulkhead. And we were walking down the bulkhead. Mr. Rosiak pointed to me and said to me, "Get off your own private property." Now, if that's the case, I think that Mr. Rosiak should be put signs up there saying it is private property. If I'm not mistaken, the borough paid for that raised portion of the roadway there. I know there's an easement from the bulkhead out, but is that Mr. Rosiak property where that raised part is?
You guys want to clarify for the record when we had that soft curb? And
basically, the right-of-way line is back.
Hold on, wait. We didn't swear you in, so state your name and that. Oh, raise your hand. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present this court will be the truth? You got?
I do.
State your name, address, and position with the borough, please.
Sure. Dale Lubner. I'm with T&M Associates, representative of the Borough Engineer's Office. Business address is 11 Tyndall Road, Middletown, New Jersey, 07748.
All right, and you're familiar with the site and the history that you've heard so far?
That is correct.
Okay.
What I wanted to say was the right-of-way line is along the back of the existing curb in the roadway. That's pretty much the right-of-way line that separates from the back of the curb to that four-foot area you referred to back in the bulkhead. The right-of-way line is right down the back of that curb.
Where it raises up?
Yeah, the curb for the street, the back of that curb, that's pretty much the right-of-way line.
So from that curb that's raised up on Washington Avenue over to the bulkhead, along to Mr. Rosiak?
That is correct.
Well, then there should be signs posted there that... it's a private property and no trespass.
Mr. Lubin, would you also tell him to build for that sidewalk?
Wait, this is the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's speak.
Very sorry.
I
happen to realize that you paid part of that.
This is not a debate.
Yeah, we're not going to go back and forth. I don't want to...
All right.
Not everyone can talk, but we got to stay on point.
So anyhow, the only other question I've got is if Mr. Rosiak goes and pulls 50 foot of that bulkhead and we get a hurricane down there in Highlands, we're going to lose everything. That's gonna take out that whole... I mean, some of the houses are up now. Mine happened to be down on the ground, which my wife was 9 years old and she moved into the house. We've had the house over 50 years. So it's nothing new to us to be in the hurricane. I have 4 foot of water in the bottom of my house many a time. All right, so that's the main thing. We have to do something. The borough has to do something, or even with Mr. Rosiak, and get that completed so that bulkhead don't go away. Because if it does, we've lost that whole street. So we've got to try to expedite it, I think. And I think the rest of the people in the town are going to agree with me, but notice that how we get flooded. And you're getting flooded now, and you don't even have bad tides now. That's all I know.
Thank you, Mr. Bethel. Nancy at 22 Hoodie Ave.
No,
you okay, ma'am? Okay. Ryan Cobb? Ryan, you want to come up a little closer? I'm sorry. And just state your name and address, please.
Ryan Cobb, Button Recreation Place.
You have to swear, man?
Yes. Do you swear the testimony you're about to present to this court will be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed.
I don't know if this will be allowed, a question for, I have a question for the council, and directly a question for Mr. Alperi.
Yes.
My question is, and I guess it's a legal question, regards revoking the mercantile license of Mr.
construction has nothing to do with the mercantile license. Mercantile license only authorizes them to do business to them, but not to do construction or repair work.
That's fine. Then the revocation, in other words, these are two disconnected things. It's requesting, I'm not sure if they are connected. In other words, he's asking, it seems to be, Mr. Rosier seems to be asking for another 60 to 90 days. And he's implying that he wants to keep his mercantile license, I imagine. That's what this is all about. So if they're really disconnected, you can take away his license. And my other question is the fine, there's a fine, I've been told, there's a fine should the mercantile license has already expired. So then there is a fine that's accruing.
The license has not expired.
It's still in effect.
So should you vote to...
If somebody operates a business without a mercantile, there is a fine on the books. Do you know what off the top of your head? I don't.
There's many remedies. There's many remedies available to the borough to enforce its ordinances, assuming that the business operates without a mercantile license.
I see. So could you go through some of those enforcement measures? And here's why I'm asking about this, because it has been 11 months, a long time, and it seems that the borough, I'm not blaming the council, the mayor has worked very hard on this issue, and I commend the mayor for his work.
It wasn't just me. I mean, I appreciate you saying that, but it was everybody
Chris
up here.
Francis attended.
It was everybody up
mayor.
Here.
It's been a big effort to pull this off. Having said that, it's hard to get a grip on this situation we have here.
So what you're asking?
I'm asking about legal remedies to move this process along.
Some of the options would be to have code enforcement file, give him a ticket essentially, and go to the municipal court, let the municipal court judge enforce in any way he or she, I don't know who the judge is here. Or we can go to the superior court and get an order to close down the business. Those are among some of the options that are available.
Close down the business. You can get a judgment.
Because there's no mercantile license.
Close down the business. And that means, now, here's what I'm asking about. We have a lot of boat owners there. They have asked me, since I live on Rogers Ave, they've asked me what's going to happen. Some of my neighbors have boats in the marina. So by closing down the business, in other words, your mercantile license expires, it's revoked. It goes into a daily fine. And now I'm going to a judge. So are we talking about removing boats?
That's a possible remedy. I don't think the mayor and council have not discussed how or what is going to happen. They're here. This is really a fact-finding hearing to determine what action, if any, should be taken.
Right. This is one of those decisions that no matter what you make, nobody really wins.
I know.
People are going to lose. What we have to evaluate tonight is does the majority keep losing because they are or don't have access to that road? And more importantly, the majority loses when there's a storm comes through and everything gets wiped out there. And in the law, the rules of suing, it starts from the money down. Usually the town's the top money. Maybe a couple of residents have more, God bless them, but usually it's the town on the way down. So we understand there's a safety issue, there's an inconvenience issue, there's a, right down the line. And, a lot of people are just tired of it because it's been 11 months.
Yeah.
Actually, we're 2 weeks away from a year anniversary this Saturday.
Okay. So we're talking about going to the point of putting the marina out of business, which would entail, I take it, removing boats. At some point, this is possible.
That's one option, yes.
Okay. Is another option going after the property? And we're talking about a public nuisance here. It goes really, nuisance doesn't cover it. It's a danger and a liability to the town. Is it also possible to go for eminent domain? That is to take over the property, to take over the property entirely.
There's always an option of eminent domain if the borough ordinance and or state statute allows it. In this case, we're not here to determine that tonight.
There's other options in between, too. If you remember way back when, I believe it was April, we talked about a worst-case scenario and bonding money for the repairs.
Right.
We did it to then cut off the marina but to shore up the road.
Right.
Well, we went through that and passed that
just
in case there was an issue.
I understand. Okay.
So that order is in place right now.
And we're hoping that it doesn't go to that.
Worst case scenario. You never want to have a worst case scenario, but you hope for the best, but you plan for the worst. And we did.
Okay.
Okay. Sharon Bentham? Yes, ma'am. Did you want to speak? Your name's on here. Yeah, you mind coming up just so we can get you and sway you in?
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present to this court will be the truth, so help you God?
Yes,
name and address, please.
My name is Sharon Bentham, 39 Washington Avenue. I apologize to Mr. Rosiak. I mean, from the time I was 9 years old, I enjoyed walking down the street. I always assumed that Washington Avenue was a public street, and I always enjoyed walking down, looking at the boats, looking at the water, walking to the end of the bulkhead. And as my husband said, on Friday, we were walking back to my son's house, didn't touch his property at all that I know of, just walking down the street. I was actually screamed at, pointed at my face, and told me to get off, get off. I had no idea what I was supposed to be getting off at. So I do apologize if I was on private property, because since I was 9 years old, I didn't know it was private property. That being said, if that portion is indeed his property and the damage to the road there is on his property, I don't feel that taxpayer money should have to be paid to repave that part of his road, if that's what you want to call. And I will not walk on his property anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. John F. Bentham. John, name and address and be sworn in.
Do you swear to the testimony you're about to present this court with the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Name and address.
John Bentham, 39 Washington Avenue. Basically, what I want to say, Mayor and Council, is I came here back in April of this year, and I want for the record to note and to point out, especially Mr. Rosiak, I've been here to one council meeting this year to talk about the marina issue. You all know I've not been down here hammering away. I've not been here after council meeting, hounding you guys about this project. I came down in April. I said my piece. I think everybody here in the room knows what my opinion is on this, okay? And that was it. Mr. Rosiak seems to think I've got some kind of power that I don't have. You know, he talks about I've got a constituency. I'm not an elected official. I'm a resident that's had to put up with this for 11 months like everybody else. And I'm not going to go into that, because I want to hear what everybody else has to say. However, he seems to think in some kind of paranoia that I've got this power to make you guys do something or shut him down or mind control over my fellow residents to form some kind of mob or something. And this is craziness. Like I said, I've been here at one council meeting, and that was it. And that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, John. Michelle O'Reilly, 20 Barbary Ave. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present to this court will be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Name and address, please.
Michelle O'Reilly, 20 Barbary Ave. Public speaking is not one of my things, but I feel
Take your time.
Thank you. I feel strongly compelled to speak up tonight. I live on the corner of Barbary Avenue and Recreation, so I'm right near the marina, right where that gaping hole is. The water comes in, flows through the street and into my yard. I'm tired of all the flooding. I'm tired of having to move my car more frequently than you can imagine. I'm tired of my property flooding. My entire yard floods with every full moon and new moon high tide. The roadway and my property are constantly flooding. I have to pay attention to the tide charts to plan my goings and comings, because when it's flooding, I can't leave and I can't get to my house. All the landscaping mulch that I put out in front of my house has washed away. That's money wasted there. I can't plant flowers or plants or make my house look pretty, because the salt water kills everything. It's killed my grass. I had a brand new pond pump, which I purchased, that blew out after the first flooding after the hurricane. I can't let my dog out when the water's flooded. I have to constantly clean up debris in my yard from the flooding. My property taxes have increased and my property value has gone down. And I guess I'm paying for waterfront property taxes, courtesy of Mr. Rosiak. And I would like to know who's going to reimburse me for all of my losses. I have nothing personal against Mr. Rosiak. I've been a resident, homeowner, and a taxpayer in this town for 15 years. For 15 years, I've peacefully walked my dog.
Okay.
I peacefully walk the dogs around the neighborhood with no incidents. 2 weeks ago, while again walking along the marina, not knowing where the boundary lines are because it's not clearly written.
It's not clearly posted, right?
It is posted.
I got to the end. My dog had a little diarrhea. Mr. Rosiak threw his jar through the trees across the street. My dog in front of me and him behind me starts yelling out, harassing me, telling me he's taking me to court. I'm suing you. I've got that on video, blah, blah, blah. I'm yelling at me. So I turn around and I try to explain to him what happened. And I yelled back, you know, cut your weeds because there's places overgrown with weeds. I said, fix the marina. And he continued to harass me. My friend John was with me. He spoke up and said, you've got a lot of nerve. At which Mr. Rosiak charged out of his property, out of his gated yard, opened his gate, came flying out into the street, stood toe-to-toe with Mr. Bentham, held his hand up to his face, and threatened and said, don't think I won't hit you. At which point, I got nervous, and I said, cut it out, I'm going to call the police. At which point, Mr. Rosiak turned towards me and started mocking me. And then he started yelling again, I'm taking you to court. For what? Because my dog had a bowel movement? I was very upset about it. John and I continued to walk our dogs, my dog, deciding what to do. By the time I got back to my house, he was there, waiting for me with animal control, and again, antagonizing me. There she is. And as John walked up behind me, he again attacked John, verbally threatening him and harassing him, threatening to take him out. With that, the animal control officer saw the aggression of Mr. Rosiak and called the police. So the police had to come down.
Was that silence animal control? Carrie?
Carrie.
Okay.
Or Terry, whatever name it
is.
No summons was issued. I didn't do anything wrong. So now I walk around the neighborhood. I'm constantly on guard because Mr. Rosiak and the town attack me. I shouldn't have to feel that way in my own neighborhood. It's very upsetting. And speaking with other residents in the neighborhood, I've learned that I'm not the only person to endure his harassment.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt just for a second. I'm very sorry to interrupt you. This is a fact-finding hearing. I've kept my mouth shut the whole evening. There are so many comments here that have nothing to do with the issue that's before the council. And there's personal attacks being made on and so on. Court of law, you know that I was standing up 20 minutes ago and objecting. These are irrelevant to what the hearing is about. I'm a former public official, as you know. I've always been very patient and tolerant of public comment. But there comes a time where this has nothing to do with what this hearing is about. So I understand there may be some personal animosity or call, whatever you will, between Mr. Rosiak and this particular individual, or maybe one of the others, or two of the others, or whoever's spoken before. I have to protect my client. And this isn't relevant to what we're here for. So
may I make a statement?
Yeah.
I think he opened the door. He started this open public meeting by saying there's comments because I have a problem with him and Mr. Bentham. Now, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I think that comment was irrelevant, too, to be very honest.
But didn't that kind of, I don't want to be play judge, but didn't that kind of open the door? You know what I mean?
Well,
if you're putting that out there, that kind of opened the door.
Yeah, so. I mean, had I spoken to Fred before the meeting, I would have told him that's totally irrelevant. It's got nothing to do with it. I don't care.
In the interest of not having an issue personal attacks, I appreciate what you're saying, but let's try to limit the rest of the comments to how it's impacting you, or without knowing to put words in anyone's mouth, how they feel about the situation down there with the bulkhead and the marina and the condition that it is.
Right. So, the marina is a total safety hazard. It's unkempt. There's weeds growing everywhere. There's sinkholes everywhere. Since the day he's taken possession of that place, I've seen him fill in the sinkholes with sand even before the reconstruction of the drainage. The building on the corner is falling apart, down on the corner marina. I see kids approaching that and approaching the gaping holes, trying to play in them, playing with the barricades.
concern is that somebody's going to get hurt and sue the town, and that's more wasted tax dollars. It's upsetting that this is taking a year and it's not resolved. I don't believe that Mr. Roziak has sincere intentions of fixing the place. Maybe he does, but he hasn't demonstrated that in my eyes. I pay a lot of money in taxes here, and I believe my tax dollars are being wasted in litigation and delay taxes. So the pointing of the fingers shouldn't have happened in the first place. It's his marina. He should have taken care of it in the first place. And I'd also like to know the extent of the repairs, you know, that he's talking about. Are they just the gaping holes, or is he going to repair the whole thing? Because if it's just the holes, and another storm comes through, the other side of the marina is going to collapse as well. So I just beseech you all to do what is necessary, whether it's taking away his license, whether it's condemning the property, whether it's declaring eminent domain. I don't care. My tax dollars and my interests are at stake, and they've gone untreated or untreated for a year now, and it's ridiculous. So I thank you for allowing me the time to speak.
Thank you, Michelle. Next, we have Zach Fitch, 10 Barbary. Sure. Zach, you want to please come up and be sworn in, please?
Sure.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to present to this board will be the truth to help you God?
Yes.
Name and address for the record, please.
Zach Fish, 10 Barbary Avenue, Pines.
Thank you, Zach.
I agree with Pat. I agree with a lot of what everybody's saying. I think that time has been wasted. Legally, I have no idea. I live at 10 Barbary. I'm immediately in the area. I've lost some grass. I lost some shrubs. I lost probably a very small portion of what Michelle has lost.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, I wish something can be done. I just have one, and I hope it gets resolved quickly. I've got a 2-year-old. When I was a kid, I used to love riding my bike around the block. She's not going to be able to do that for some time. You know, she's only 2. I hope it doesn't get to the point where she's 5 and I say, no, you can't go over there. That's my thing. Fred, I've never had a problem with Fred. I've never had an issue with Fred. I fish outside Fred's house all the time. You know, he gives me the secret spots or whatever, you know. I guess my biggest concern was if a 50-foot gap of wall is removed, what kind of contingency plan can be put in place temporarily, sandbags, what have you, on the street, to prevent any lunatide, anything like that.
Hurricane cover business.
Exactly, directly impacting my house that I pay taxes on. You know, I've only been in the town 4 years. Love the town, you know. This is my kind of place. I just would like to know if the town would be willing to step up, or if, you know, somebody has to be responsible for that. You know, and I'm not asking who it is, I just want to make it, you know, that, you know, clear.
Sure.
That's really it.
Thanks, all right. Thank you for coming up today. Next up, we have John, is it McLean, 52 Barbary?
Back here.
I'm sorry, John. Okay, you mind coming forward, John?
Sure.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to present this board will be the truth to help you God?
I do. John McAleer, 52 Barbary. In the interest of full disclosure, not only are we neighbors, we were Fred's customers up until the storm last year. I'm not going to ask you to rehash. I realize this has been going a long time. My wife and I are just as frustrated as everybody else with the fact that it's taken so long, and I don't understand who's at fault, and we really don't care. I do understand that Fred is starting to make repairs. I think it is quite reasonable that we hold him to some sort of standard. My question is, first of all, I can assume that the town saw the plans for the repairs and they've approved them and that they're intended to be adequate to weather another storm?
His engineers submitted plans that our engineers
approved. Okay, and that our engineers approved. Okay. So whatever is to be done should be adequate.
I don't know if it's fair to say that, Rob. I don't know if it works.
Right, and I understand, there's the storm of the century. But
Right. There's always the unforeseen things, but it's adequate to your belief.
Correct. Based on their plans, the information they provided, it seems to be adequate.
Okay. And obviously, there was concern on the part of the town that we've gotten to a point where they need to do something to force Fred to move along. I guess, and one of the earlier gentlemen kind of touched on it, I'm wondering what value it is in revoking his license. And I would assume that if he can no longer do business, all the boats would have to leave from that marina. We do have neighbors who make their living out of that marina. We were in that marina. We still have neighbors who keep their pleasure boats there. And I wonder how it's going to negatively impact his ability to do the work if he's losing income. And just that we should keep that in mind. That's really about all I feel like.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Frank McLaughlin, 24 Barbary. Thank you, Frank.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present to this board will be the truth, so help you God?
So help you God.
Name and address.
Frank McLaughlin, 24 Barbary. I'm two houses down from Michelle. I'm right next to Paul. I have water in my backyard every couple of days whenever it's high tide. My daughter can't, go out. She wants to go out and splash around, but it's not safe water. It's coming up in the sewer. It's coming back in his yard. And I guess my biggest concern here is that, as we sit here today, not all people tell the truth all the time. I mean, people just, sometimes they just tell you what you want to hear. And it's 10 months later, and we've been hearing a lot.
I'm going to argue with you, but it's 11 and a half.
11 and a half.
Sorry. Just for the record.
I moved in during the storm. So
okay.
You just can't take everybody at their word on this. As a community group, we have to say that, sometimes you have to put up or shut up, and you have to take care of it. You had every opportunity to do it, you didn't do it. I certainly don't want to put any clambers out of business or anybody who has a boat there, and I don't want to turn it into a park. My wife loves it, but there's the very real possibility we're just getting shilled again. And how long is this going to go on before, as a council, my elected officials take a stand on it and do something and just make it go away, make it stop, and do whatever we have to do as a community to fix the problem. We can't rely on this going into the season. Maybe a wonderful guy, maybe he's not, but that's
irrelevant.
He's had every opportunity to fix this solution. As I understand, he's been here plenty of times telling you what he's going to do, and it just hasn't gotten done. And he's either not telling the truth or he's not reliable. I mean, something has to give here. And I've got a daughter. I've got another daughter coming in a couple days. I'm here when I should be home with my family. Thank you very much. But this is ridiculous that I should have to fight with somebody who's supposed to be a neighbor. Somebody's supposed to be a business member of our community and have to fight about fixing something that's broken on his property. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. Mr. Frank Thomas, you want to close out the public for us, sir?
Yes. You can all see that the tension is...
Wait.
We got to bring you up.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to present to this board will be the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
And your name and address, please.
Frank Thomas. 49 Huddy Avenue.
Thank you,
Mr. Thomas.
Tensions are at the breaking point with this marina between Mr. Rosiak and all the neighbors. We have to get this thing started and get it worked on. We all know that there's a big hole there. We can't worry about how we're going to, if there's a catastrophe, with him pulling out the pilings. The pilings have to be pulled out to put the new pilings in. There's nobody in this room that is, Fred may be dragging his feet a little bit, but he's the one that's reaching in his pocket.
Guys, please, no.
He's the one that's reaching in his pocket to pay for this. So now everything is in line to get started. Let's put our differences behind us and get the thing started before we go into another winter, more hurricane seasons, more high tides. We're losing more grass, more flowers, and maybe then everybody will get back to a nice neighborhood. Last thing I want to say is Mr. O'Neill's out of town a lot for his work. Making him the borough representative of that job would be like making John Bentham the borough representative of that job.
I don't understand why that would be bad, but Mr. O'Neill is not out of town tonight. His son and his troop.
No, he goes out of town for work. I'm just saying. He goes out of town for work.
And reality is all of our emails, phone numbers, and everything come right down here, drop a letter to us 5 days a week. That's just the reality. But that's in the hearing.
I think that you should appoint.
I've been here 4 nights this week. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Somebody else that would volunteer, a neighbor, somebody that could.
John, you want to do it? No, just kidding. Apologies. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Everybody had a turn. Mr. McKenna, it is fair. Mr. McKenna, do you want to have a closing statement?
Yes, absolutely. Let me start off by saying I have tremendous sympathy and understanding for the frustration of the people that have spoken about the current condition, as I think all of us do. That's not the answer. The answer that we need is to get this thing fixed, which is exactly what this man, this gentleman, and many of the others said this evening. To be very frank with you,